Hey, CCF, it's so good to be back with you and worshiping with you. Actually, Margaret and I have been with you every Sunday morning for weeks now because our ministry has been put on pause. Before that, we were every Sunday, we'd be in a different church worshiping with them, seeing what God was doing and being able to pray for them more specifically because we actually saw with our eyes what was happening there. So we're looking forward to the day that starts up again. But in the meantime, it's great to be able to share with you this morning. And we're continuing this theme that we've been talking about, life-giving words. And I love this theme because words are so powerful. They have a way of just changing the world. I've thought of some examples in history where just a few words that were spoken changed everything. I remember as a kid learning about Patrick Henry's words to the Virginia House of Burgesses. He said, "Give me liberty or give me death." Well, those words empowered a whole nation, 13 colonies worth of people, to take up arms and fight against the British, to fight for their freedom. Shortly afterwards, Thomas Jefferson penned those self-evident words, "All men are created equal." And for a couple of centuries now, people have been empowered by those words to work for democracy and freedom of people. And I remember in our own generation the words of our President John F. Kennedy when he said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, what you can do for your country." And just on the basis of those words, hundreds of thousands of young people volunteered and joined the Peace Corps and went around the world to serve because of those words. I don't think any words have changed the world as much, though, as the words of Jesus. Jesus himself said, "The words that I speak to you are spirit and are life." They are life and they give life. And so it's good to pay attention when Jesus speaks. And I think now especially is the time for us to be paying attention. I think the whole coronavirus is a wake-up call from God telling us that we need to listen to what he has to say. And fortunately, we're hearing many stories of people who are doing just that. Maybe you're one of them, starting to tune in. God, what is it that you want to say to me? Of all the words that Jesus spoke, I think the ones that we're going to learn about this morning have the power to change your life. You can experience in your life exactly what this man we're going to read about experienced. The words are found in the Gospel of Mark, and I would encourage you every time to find a Bible physically, get it out, read along with us. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation today. These words are found right at the beginning of the Gospel of Mark. And we start at verse 40, and here's what they say. This is Mark's record of the ministry of Jesus, recorded at the very beginning of his public ministry. It says, "And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling before him, he said, 'If you will, you can make me clean.' Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, 'I will. Be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once, and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, for a proof to them.' But he went out and began to talk freely about it, and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter." This is God's word, and these two words of Jesus are so powerful. Actually, if you read them in the Greek New Testament, the original recording of these words of Jesus, it's really two words, but it's two sentences, and they are these: "I am willing, be healed," or literally, "be cleansed." These words have the power to do for you the same thing they did for the life of Jesus, for the life of this man who heard them spoken by Jesus. Here's what they can do. First, you can have a restored life. Now, if there's ever someone who needed to be restored, it was this leper. I don't know how much you know about leprosy, but in the ancient world, there was nothing that was more dreaded than this disease. It's recorded among the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans, and of course in the biblical world. All around that time period, people just were in dread of this awful disease because it was so revulsive and so incurable. There was nothing they can do about it. And you say, well, so what was it exactly? Well, unfortunately, we don't know exactly because of imprecise terms. The word leprosy seems to have been used to describe so many conditions like psoriasis, like eczema, like cancer, like the falling off of limbs, nervous problems. Nowadays, many kinds of leprosy are what we call Hansen's disease, which actually was a microbacterial infection, and they have different ways of treating it these days. But in the ancient world, the last thing in the world you wanted to be was a leper. Physically, it was repulsive and produced all these consequences that happened to a person, and there was no known cure for leprosy. But it also had a social consequence, because no one wanted to be around a leper. Becoming a leper was like being put in a lifelong quarantine. Now, maybe you're struggling with quarantine the way it is today, but can you imagine living your life this whole way? A cartoonist recently captured our experience. Even something simple like going to walk your dog can look like this. You know, like, oh, keep away. Well, that, I think, is a great picture of the life of a leper, especially in Jesus' day. It was stay away and don't go near this person. That was his social condition. But along with this, there was the spiritual aspect of it. His spiritual condition was that he was counted unclean. That's why he really asked Jesus to cleanse him. Because the unclean condition meant that religiously he was completely cut off. He couldn't serve God. He couldn't be used by God. He couldn't approach God in the way that others could. He was considered like a second class, maybe worse, person from a spiritual standpoint. That's the condition of a leper. You can see why he wanted to be restored. But friends, most of us are just like this leper in some way or another. Our lives are broken. The reason people need healing is because something's gone wrong. Something needs to be put back the way it's supposed to be. And that's the way all of us are. None of us are the way we should be, the way we could be, the way we want to be, what we know about the way we're supposed to be. There's just something basically wrong with us, and we need to be healed, like that leper. We also are what modern writers called alienated. We feel separated from other people. And it could be because we're prideful, or because we're resentful, or because we're afraid, or because we have bitterness in our hearts, or because others are hateful towards us. Whatever the reasons, all over, there are people who are feeling away from others. That's the way our whole society has begun to feel during this time of isolation. And there's this yearning, this desire to get out there and be with people again. They can't do it. And they're beginning to feel frustrated because there's a thing that God created in us as human beings that wants to engage with other people. And the consequence of our sin is that that is never going to be the way it's supposed to be until eternity. So we're like that, but we're also people who are feeling withdrawn from God. Many of you probably struggle with those feelings from time to time. I know I have, where you wonder, you know, could God ever use me? Am I really worthwhile? Does God really think that I'm a person that could make any difference to anybody else? There's this sense of alienation from God as well as from people. And so we too need a restoration. But here's where the hope is. The hope is in Jesus, because Jesus is different than the kind of God that we may have imagined. We learn in our text that Jesus really cared about this man. The Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion towards him. One translation actually says Jesus was filled with anger. What it's trying to capture is the depth of the emotion that Jesus felt about the condition of this man. He really cared about him. He wasn't indifferent. His heart went out towards this man. That's the kind of person that Jesus is. That's the way Jesus is towards you. You can come to him. You don't need to be afraid of him. He's moved with compassion towards you because he loves you. Not only that, but Jesus wants to have a relationship with you just the way he wanted a relationship with that leper. Now, this comes out in a dramatic way in our story with that simple words, Jesus reached out and touched him. There's one thing you do not do, they would have said to Jesus, you do not touch a leper. I can just imagine the scene where this crowd is there and this leper comes up and Jesus reaches out and touches him. And maybe before that moment happened, there was buzzing and talking, but all of a sudden there's this hushed silence, gasp, Jesus has touched this man. But that touch, you see, expresses something so powerful that Jesus wanted to enter into a relationship with that person. Jesus wants to touch you. I remember the old gospel song where the person testifies, "He touched me and my life was changed. He made me whole." That's what Jesus wants to do for you. He wants to enter into a relationship with you. So this Jesus is approachable and he's wanting a relationship with us. And best of all, Jesus is able to actually do something about it. He's willing and able to heal. Now we come to that significant word in our story here, this word healing, and we need to talk about this. Because I'm sure you're wondering in the back of your mind, well, does this always happen? Can I count on God to do this? I'm sick. My grandmother's in the ICU. Is God going to heal them? Will God heal? Will he do it all the time, every time? Is it depending on me? Does my faith have to be a certain way? What's the deal about healing? Let me just kind of talk about this for a few moments. We live in a broken world. It's got problems. And all of those problems speak of the need for healing. That's why the word healing is found so often in the Bible. Because God is coming into a world that is needing to be healed, to be made right. And so things need to be fixed. The Bible also says that Jesus came for the very purpose of fixing that problem. That's why he was called the great physician. Because there was a healing that needed to happen. And the way Jesus would do this, unlike anything we might have thought up, God planned this. Jesus was going to come and live among us, relate with us, but then he was going to take on himself the burden of our failings and our sin and go to the cross and die in our place, even though he was sinless and didn't deserve any of it. Jesus would die in our place as our substitute, and then God would raise him up from death, and he would live and offer his own new life to us, to heal us. So, a broken world, a Savior who can heal, and yet the reality is that for today, that healing is still what I call partial. What do I mean when I say healing is partial? Well, just look around. It's obvious that healing isn't everywhere, that there's still death, there's still suffering, there's still sickness, there's still pain. All those things are still there. And they're still in the lives of very godly religious people, as well as others who don't even believe there is such a God. So there's this reality out there that this world is broken. Jesus has the answer for it. And yet things are not completely fixed. Why is that? The real ultimate answer is that the core problem is not yet finished being solved. What's the core problem? The core problem is our sin. It's because of our moral failings that this world that we live in is so-called broken. It's the consequences have come about in our world because of this moral failing. And so, well, let me illustrate it this way. In my yard, I have a little mountain laurel bush, and it doesn't really grow really well. And I've discovered recently that it kind of has what I want to call leprosy. It looks like leprosy. The leaves have little spots on them. And so I went to a professional and he told me, well, what you need is some of this. It's neem. It's an oil that is sprayed on the plants. You dilute it with water and you spray it on. It becomes a fungicide and is going to take care of the fungus that's causing those spots. Well, this is great news. I've put it on. I'm hoping for a healing for my little bush. But what the man told me further is really important. He said, you can fix those leaves, but that's not going to solve the problem. It's going to come back. You're going to have to keep doing this because the problem is either in the soil or in the environment. There's something that's the root cause of this affliction. That's how it is with the world that we live in. It's still got a problem, and the problem is sin. Now, you might be wondering, if God's all-powerful, why doesn't God just come and get rid of it all? Couldn't he do that? Yes, he could. But think about it for a moment. If the problem behind all these issues and this brokenness is sin, and God's able to come and take it all away, let's imagine that he's going to do that. In fact, let's imagine that he's going to do that tonight at midnight. All of the evils in the world will be gone from the planet at midnight tonight. At 12:01, where will you be? Because you see, the problem is in you and the problem is in me. If God were to remove all this from the earth, there wouldn't be any of us left. It's true what the Bible says, that it's the mercy of God that He's holding back the dealing with this problem, giving us an opportunity to come personally and experience healing on an individual level. So until that future day comes, we're left with this partial healing. Now, in the midst of partial healing, remember, God is still powerful, and there are still miraculous interventions of God that happen. We can pray. We're encouraged to do that. We can ask God, the sovereign God, to heal and touch that broken person or ourselves. And God, in His wisdom, may, on occasion, bring about something what is called supernatural, bring about a healing that we can't explain. And when that happens, we're going to thank God for it. We're going to know that it came from His hand. But until then, we're going to wait for the future day that's coming when the healing is going to be complete. And that's the best news. That's still coming. Healing is still in God's plan. He's going to do this. You see, God is healing right now, healing our broken relationship with God. He's doing healings on the inside, healing us of our inner sin problems, our enslavements, our twisted motives, our evil thoughts that rise up. God can fix that so that there's a cleansing that comes in that area of our life. And then along the way, physically, there can be these miraculous interventions of God. But then that future day is still coming. I love that last chapter in the Bible where it gives us a picture of that future day when the sin problem is going to be completely removed. And in one of the images, it describes this holy city with a river flowing down the middle of it, and there are trees on the edges of the river, and it talks about the leaves of that tree of life are for the healing of the nations. That's the day we're looking forward to. God's going to do that. So God is a healing God, and God wants to restore you. The work of restoration is beginning, and it can start with your life when you bring it to Jesus. You can have a restored life with God and on the inside. But there's even more. The good news is that not only can these words give you a restored life, they can give you a purposeful life. A purposeful life. Think about this leper. Here he is, completely isolated, a worthless person in the eyes of humans. But the Bible says that the man went out and spread the word, proclaiming to everyone what had happened. Now, Jesus had told him not to do that because Jesus knew what it would do to the crowds, and he wasn't ready to be taken to the cross. But nevertheless, this was in the heart of that man. He wanted to tell the story wherever he went. And like him, you'll have something to tell to others when Jesus touches your life. There'll be a purpose for your life. That purpose will be to let others know where the solution is, how their lives can be changed just as He's changed yours. And your life is going to become significant. You want to talk about a transformation where you're an obscure, avoided leper to becoming a person who is actually making a difference in the lives of others. Our text goes on to say that as a result, large crowds soon surrounded Jesus. He made a huge difference. But that's not all of it. Think about it. Not only did that happen in Jesus' day, but Mark and two other gospel writers write this story down. It gets into our Bibles. It gets spread throughout the planet. And over 2,000 years, millions of people have had their lives changed all because of the story of this leper. Now, how's that for significance? I don't know if God's going to use you quite that way. But God's going to make your life matter. You're going to have significance when you've experienced the healing touch of Jesus. This man's own experience tells us this, but we also see it in Jesus himself. After all, he's the real hero of this whole story. So here's Jesus who comes along in an approachable way, touches the leper, speaks words of life to him, and makes a difference in his life. And the Bible says that we who have experienced that life from Jesus are to start following his example. 1 John put it this way. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Friend, your life will never be as purposeful as it will be when you start living your life the way Jesus lived his life. How did he live his life? Well, He cared and valued people who nobody else cared about or valued, number one. Other people are going to start mattering to you. And when you make them matter, you're going to be living your life the way Jesus did. Not only that, Jesus' words changed people. Jesus spoke words of life. I wonder about your own words. Are they mostly known for how you can tear people down? How you can belittle them? How you can make fun of them? How you can make them the butt of jokes? How you can criticize them? Or are they words that impart life to them, give them hope? You see, you will live this purposeful life when you start communicating the kinds of things that Jesus communicates to us. And then there's Jesus not only speaking these words, but he's putting those words into action. He not only could say, I'm willing, he could say, be cleansed. Jesus did something. He touched the man. And what he wants to have happen in your life is that you start being a Christian who's not only talking the talk, but walking the walk. You're living it out. You're actually putting your life into action. As we read this story, God's looking for a response from us. What should that response be like? And I can think of at least three ways that we really need to react or respond to what God is saying to us in this story. Here's the first one. You need to bring your life before Jesus, your broken life. Say, Lord, here's my life. It's not much. It's been lived away from God, but I'm bringing this broken life to you. You can make something of it. When you do that, your life will be changed. And that'll lead to a second response, and that is to give your new life to Jesus. Lord, you've made me whole. Now I'm taking this life and I'm presenting it to you. I want you to live your life through me. As you do this, the third response is to start living like Jesus. You're going to start valuing other people, speaking words of life to other people, caring about them, and putting your words into actions as you love them in Jesus' name. Well, those are three interesting responses, but now do we actually do something about it? I think a way for you to get moving is to actually take a step. We call them next steps. And they're expressed as a prayer today for you to be able to say between your heart and God's, Lord, this is the next thing I want to be doing. So, for example, as we think about these three responses, bringing your life before Jesus, here's your next step. Lord, pray this prayer. Lord, make me what you want me to be. And when you pray that, you realize that the way Jesus will do that is that he will first take your burden to the cross, pay your debt, be your substitute savior, rise from the dead, and then give you new life. He wants to live that life in you. So when you say, Lord, make me what you want me to be, you're really saying, Lord, I want to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior and ask him to come and save me, heal me, make me whole, restore me, give me a life of purpose. If you will pray this prayer today, we'd like to know about that and pray with you. So you can use the connection card on whatever platform you're watching, find that, and just let us know, I want to pray that prayer today. A simpler way is you can use your text and just text the word trust to that phone number, 401-496-9710, and we'll get back to you as well as pray for you, try to offer you some help to take the next steps as you walk with Jesus. So that's your first response. Bring that broken life to Jesus. Let him make it whole. The second one is to give your new life to Jesus, and you could express that in this prayer. Lord, here's my life. Use me to help others. God's not going to do that in your life until you're available to him. Would you just make your life available to him and pray that simple prayer? And again, let us know, and we can partner with you in prayer that that'll actually happen in your life. And then thirdly, is to start living like Jesus. And here's a prayer for you. Lord, show me who the other leper is in my life so that you may have compassion. I may have compassion on them. You see, all around you are other lepers like you are a leper. They don't think of themselves as lepers. Maybe you never saw them that way, but their lives are broken too. God wants to open up your eyes to be able to see who they are and then start reaching out in compassionate ways. To care for them, to love them, be interested in them, come alongside them, start a relationship with them, ultimately speak words of life to them. But you need God to open your eyes so you can see who they are. If you pray any one of these prayers today and mean it and start doing something about it, your life is going to be changed. And you'll be restored and you'll have a new purpose. Let me just pray with you for God to continue to work in your life as well as in mine. Bow with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming as the great physician and healer to touch our lives and make us whole. We thank you, Lord, that sinners can come to you. They're safe with you. You're the friend of sinners. And you're reaching out now even to touch our lives. And I pray, Lord, that you, wherever these people are who are watching and listening, that you'll touch their life. Give them this desire to present that life to you, for you to make them whole. And Lord, thank you for those that you've been talking to today who need to present their lives to you, to serve others, and to speak words of life into them. And we pray, Lord, that you'll multiply yourself through your people, because we pray it all in the powerful name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen.